Robert Hendrickson is an Episcopal priest and also the subdean of the cathedral in St. John's Cathedral in Denver, Colorado. And he has a blog that I regularly read called The Subdean Stall. And I noticed through the course of this summer his posts were not as frequent as they had been. And on a post on August 26th, he wrote about how the life he shared with his wife had changed dramatically as they had adopted two small boys. He says, "Life has been a bit topsy-turvy, in a wonderful way, of course." And then he writes about the experience of adopting these young boys and talks about being especially touched by one thing. And that thing is the fresh joy with which children view the world. How he sees in his young boys their ability to see with fresh eyes. And in their seeing with fresh eyes, he finds his eyes of faith being opened. He also observes in this blog post that they ask many questions. Often the questions are amusing. He confesses sometimes they're even a little annoying. And then he cites an example of some questions that he's asked one day traveling with his sons. They begin, "Why are we going this way? When will we get there?" Then they continue, "Did you see that truck? Why is it blue? Where is it going?" From those questions, he goes on to suggest that the church could learn a lot, especially we adults in the church could learn a lot from children. We could learn about asking questions. We could learn from children about experiencing amazement at all we see. He observes that in children, there is this ability to experience a limitless horizon, to see the world before them as a set of possibilities. He concludes his blog with a prayer, which I will quote for you. "My prayer for the church is that we can recapture wonder, that we can live with much joy in our salvation, that those we love and those we meet might find us asking questions, delighting in discovery, and ever on the cusp, at the horizon, of God's unfurling and unending love." He's praying that we might have a sense that children have of that horizon, that possibility, that limitlessness of God's love, that we might see with fresh eyes and delight and no wonder. Now, it's true that many in this parish are educators of some kind. We have school teachers and librarians, professors and administrators. We have retired educators in our midst. And education is one of those holy callings of God, a noble vocation. And in it, I assume, I've not observed any of you at work, but I assume that you answer questions, but you also foster that sense of questioning in your students, that you take seriously their formation and shaping their learning, and that you encourage them both in critical thinking, but also in delighting in learning, in knowledge, to experience amazement and wonder that exists all around. Because of the importance of all of you who have as your vocation and your work being educators, we will in fact pray for you today and commission you for the year ahead. We're going to pray for you as you educate and form and mentor and care for and support the young people and young adults entrusted to your charge as you engage in this noble and holy vocation, this call from God. Now, sadly, in our world, not all children have the same opportunities. Some children in our world do not receive the care, the education, the support that they deserve and are worthy of. Too many children live in poverty. Too many children live with the horror of domestic violence. Too many children know the streets to be unsafe, to know gun violence on our streets. And as we have seen those horrific images, too many children right now are fleeing from war, from violence, from poverty. We've seen those images of Syrian refugees traveling hundreds of miles trying to come to safety. We've seen the horrible images of children drowned trying to find a better life. Children are often the first to experience the horror of adult power struggles, of adult greed, the first at the front line of the experience of war. And it's ironic because children are those who have the least power and the fewest resources of anyone to address those issues. This was also true in Jesus' day. And in our gospel today, Jesus, in fact, takes a child in his arm as an illustration for his teaching. The disciples are traveling with Jesus, they're on their way, and ultimately where they're going is to Jerusalem. And so in today's gospel, he's teaching what will happen when they get there. He says, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." This is the second time he teaches this. We didn't hear it last week because we kept our festival day of Holy Cross Day, but in last week's gospel, he also taught this. And he will teach it again. And the disciples have each time difficulty understanding. How can the Messiah be the one who's going to suffer and die? Isn't the Messiah the one who's going to cast off the yoke of oppression of that occupying force, Rome? How can the Messiah do that if he is killed? And as for being raised on the third day, I don't think that fully makes sense, if it ever does, but I don't think it makes sense to them until it actually happens and they experience it. In today's gospel, they hear what he says, but they don't understand it, and they are afraid to ask questions. They don't ask him what this means. They are silent. When they reach their destination, Jesus asks them a question. "What were you arguing about on the way?" Now, we don't have their conversation recorded, but presumably they had some kind of argument, and Jesus is curious what it's about. And again, they are silent. In today's gospel, the disciples don't say much at all. So they are silent because they were arguing about who was the greatest. They really don't understand this way that they are traveling with Jesus. They don't understand this life to which he is calling them. He is on the way to Jerusalem, where love will bring him to the cross, where he will give up his very life because of love. And while they are on that journey, they're worrying about the things of this world: power, status, who is the greatest, who among them is first. The absolute antithesis of what Jesus is teaching and what Jesus is living. So Jesus teaches them saying, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." This turns upside down the teaching of his day as well as ours. This is not how the world understands greatness. And then to make the point even clearer, Jesus takes a child in his arms and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now that's a very radical statement. In the first century world, children had very little status. They had no power. They were considered possessions of their father. They're not even considered by most people to be full persons. And in a society that was so structured in a stratified way, where relationships ideally would bring status to someone, they can offer no status to anyone. So Jesus is turning upside down the social order of his day. He's calling the disciples to live a whole new life, a life in which they don't seek positions of power or prestige by the categories of the world, but they take the place of the lowest. In Greek, the word for servant that is used in today's gospel is diakonos, which we've heard before. It's that word that gives us the English word deacon, an ordained level of ministry where the deacons serve in the world. In today's gospel, he's telling the disciples to be that kind of servant. And in the first century, one who was a diakonos was the lowest of the servants, the table servant, who waited on table, who served everyone, only eating after even the other servants had eaten. And so Jesus is calling his disciples to take that lowest of positions. And then not only that, but to emulate a child, the lowest in the family, the one with the least power in society, to become like a servant, to become like a child, to welcome that child, to not worry about the status of this world. Jesus is teaching his disciples lessons that are hard to hear, and I think that lessons that are challenging for us as well. They go against some of our human impulses. Who doesn't want to have power or be near power? We have that temptation within ourselves to put ourselves at the center of things. And Jesus is teaching us that if we do that, we are not seeking the way of abundant life that he comes to offer. For the call is for us to put God's love, put humble service at the center of all we do and all we are. That we offer to others that fullness of love, of service. And in doing so, we let go of ourselves. We let go of our selfish impulses. And we find deeper life in God. And so in the church, we are called to exercise leadership and authority based on service and based on humility, not on the status of the world. We're called to share God's love freely without counting the cost, to be with Jesus walking on the way that leads to the cross, to losing our lives, for that paradox of in losing our lives, we find them. That from death on the cross comes the promise of eternal life, comes freedom from all that separates us from God, from ourselves, and from our neighbors. For living in this way draws us into the very heart of God to share in the loving community of the Trinity. So on this day, I hope and pray that we might welcome this hard teaching of Jesus, challenging though it is, and that we might allow the Holy Spirit breathing in us to form us and shape us, and to recapture some of the joy and wonder that we see children possessing. And that we might dare to ask questions, to not be silent in the face of hard things, and to even dare to ask questions that have no answer. Questions like, why do children suffer? Questions like, why can't we do something to change systemic injustice? Questions like, how is God calling us to act? May we never be afraid to speak, especially speaking up for justice for the forgotten. And may God bless all those who care for children with love, compassion, and faithfulness, and that we might become as children and welcome all as children, especially the least in our midst, that none of God's children might be forgotten, but instead welcomed and loved. Amen.
Amen.